I want to begin this morning with a question. How many of you have ever prayed for patience? Well, probably all of us at one time or another, right?
Not me.
Well, today we're going to look at patience. Patience is that fourth attitude that we're looking at in Galatians 5:22. It's something that is promised of the Spirit when you're yielded to the Spirit of God. So let me invite you to take God's word with me this morning and turn to Galatians 5 and verse 22. As you know, we are in a series on bad and good habits, or bad and good fruit, and we've already considered what is bad habits and what is bad fruit, and now we're looking at good habits, good fruit. Galatians 5, verses 22, and I want to read down to verse 25, just so we have this in our hearing. This all comes off the heels of verse 16, where he talks about walking by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And then he talks about the opposition that's going on inside of you with the flesh and the Spirit, and then goes through the deeds of the flesh, and then contrasts the fruit of the Spirit with the deeds of the flesh. And he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Two times he talks about walking by the Spirit. And when you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. So to carry out the deeds of the Spirit, we have to walk by the Spirit. And again, what that means is we have to yield. We have to yield to the Spirit of God. And when you yield to the Spirit of God, then he produces this in your life. There was a man by the name of Hudson Taylor who was a British Protestant Christian missionary. He was a missionary to China. He was also the founder of the China Inland Mission, which is now OMF International. This is what he would tell missionaries to China that were training to be those missionaries. And he said, there are three indispensable requirements for a missionary. And here they are. Patience, patience, patience. Now, I've been in the ministry for over 30 years now, and I can understand what he is saying by the word patience. Unfortunately, there is the pressure to produce results. We all like to see results, right? And there's always pressure in denominations for results because they count, and they count numbers, and they ask about baptisms and salvations and memberships and numbers and all of those things like that. But there have been many missionaries that would go to a place and share Christ for 30 years and not have any converts. Were they unsuccessful? No. Because success did not rest on them. Success was not in what they could produce. If they could produce numbers, then they were producing their own converts and not converts to Christ, right? I'm not against numbers and counting things. We have a whole book devoted called Numbers to Counting. But it's up to the Lord to who he brings into his kingdom. We have to be faithful to present the gospel to every person and leave the results to him. And that's what I would say in those three words of patience. It takes patience. It takes waiting on the Lord to do what he is going to do. And I believe that Hudson Taylor truly demonstrated insight with those three words, because in those three words, he's talking about how we deal with people. Now, patience is something that we all need, but we also need these other things as well: love, joy, and peace. Amen? We need all of these, and a good thing, as I've been saying, you get all of them when you yield to the Spirit of God, when you are filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. This is what is produced in your life. And the one at the top of the list, love, is supreme. This is what Jesus said to his disciples, that by this all men will know that you are my disciples when you have love for one another. Not when you're bickering with each other, not when you're trying to compare yourself to each other or saying who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. No, it's when you truly love one another with agape love. No conditions. You sacrifice yourself for that other person. Well, I believe that this is what the Apostle Paul also had in mind when he writes this here in Galatians chapter 5. He told them earlier in the chapter that they needed to be careful not to bite and devour one another. That certainly is a problem. And then, of course, going through the listing in verses 19 to 21 of the deeds of the flesh, that is also a problem. And let me just say this. Because they're listed there doesn't mean that a Christian will never commit these things. But the key is found in verse 21. He will not have this as a habitual practice in his life. That's key. It's not saying you'll never struggle with anything. It's not saying that you will never sin. But the habit of your life will not be verses 19 through 21. The habit of your life as a Christian will be yielding to the Spirit of God and Him producing verses 22 and 23. Again, I remind you, verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lusts. Patience. We all need it. And let me just read one passage to you that highlights it from a different level from which we need to draw from. Romans 12, 19 and following says this, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the word patience was never used in that passage, but it was certainly implied, was it not? All of us need patience. But none of us like how it's acquired. James chapter 1 gives us some insight on how we get patience when it says in verses 2 through 4, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, say it with me, patience, or perseverance, or endurance. But he says, and let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You have to let it do its work. And therefore, it will bring about spiritual maturity. But you've got to realize that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, regardless of how we get it, we need to understand everything we can about it. I spent some time yesterday looking at that verse 22 in Galatians 5 of that word patience and discovered that the word that's used here is a little different than the word that's used in James 1 that I just read, but this word here is called macrothumia. Macrothumia means long-suffering or forbearance. It's a word that describes self-restraint. How many of you have that under control? Have that ability to restrain yourself when someone gets in your face and says ugly things to you, or they talk behind your back and you happen to hear some of that. How many of you have that ability to restrain yourself? Well, in and of ourselves, we don't have that ability, right? That's why we need to understand this text. That's why we need to understand what it means to walk by the Spirit. Because we can't love the way Jesus loved unless we walk by the Spirit. We can't certainly have joy or peace and patience like Jesus had unless we walk by the Spirit, unless we yield to the Spirit of God. And again, I remind you, walking is telling us it's one step at a time. This word, and here's your good definition, it is the quality of a person who is able to avenge himself, yet refrains from doing so. He's able to avenge himself, but he doesn't do it. He could do it, but he restrains himself from that. Somebody says something ugly to him, he could avenge himself of what they're saying, but he doesn't. He could defend himself. He could throw all of those things out there in celebration of himself, but he doesn't. He refrains. So the word has to do with tolerance. He tolerates it. He's long-suffering, or as someone said, suffers long. See, the idea, it endures injuries inflicted by others. We all need patience with people, but you need it even more when people seek to injure you with their words, or maybe even physical bodily harm. You need this in what he's talking about here. This is the calm willingness to accept situations that are irritating and painful. Let me say that again. It is the calm willingness to accept situations that are irritating and painful. One writer says this, it's the broad shoulders on which it bears all things. Now, this kind of patience comes from God. God is the God of patience, just as he is the God of peace, he's the God of joy, he's the God of love. He's also the God of patience. He's identified by that phrase, the God of patience, in Romans 15 and verse 5. He is called the God of patience. Now, when you think about God being the God of patience, what does it say in Scripture about him being the God of patience? Well, first of all, it says this. This is what God has that leads sinners to repentance. Aren't you thankful that he was patient with you? I'm certainly thankful he was patient with me. I didn't come to know the Lord till I was about 19 years old, so 19 years of patience, and he's still patient with me because I have not arrived. Oh, I know some of you thought I had, but I haven't. And he's still patient with me. And you know what's even greater than that? He's patient with you too. Amen. We ought to have shouts of joy on that. I mean, that should cause us to rejoice and run around the room and toot our little horn right there. Actually, it's not our horn to toot. It's his, because he is the one doing it. But Romans 2:4 says this, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" Aren't you so glad that God is not like us? Because we look around at people and we're irritated with them and we're tired of taking all the insults and the injuries from them, whatever that may be, you fill in the blank. And sometimes in your mind and secretly, you might not say it out loud, but you're kind of thinking, get them, God. Right? But aren't you thankful that he doesn't? Because he could get you too. He's very patient. He's long-suffering. He's slow to anger. And this is something that we need to emulate. And we do emulate this when we're yielded to the Spirit. Again, I remind you, all of this is produced. We're beautiful people when we're yielded to the Spirit. We're ugly people when we're yielded to the flesh. Because when we're yielded to the flesh, we're nothing but selfish people. We're using everyone. We're manipulating everyone to fulfill our own desires. But when we're yielded to the Spirit of God, God is manifest in our lives, and everyone sees that, and that is beautiful. You want to lead people to Christ, walk in the Spirit. He'll give you what to say. He already has, actually. He's giving you the Bible. But he'll help you to frame it and to say it to people if you walk by the Spirit, depending on him, trusting him. And that's what this is all about, dependence and trust. I keep using the word yielding. You know what yield means. You've yielded this moment to me to talk, and you're letting me talk. You've yielded at this moment. Well, this is something that we need to do all the time. We need to yield ourselves to the Word of God and let God speak through us. And he does that every time we are filled with the Spirit. And again, the command is on us. Be being constantly filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. That's a command, but it's in the middle voice. You can't fill yourself. The Spirit has to fill you. And you say, well, then how come I'm commanded? You're commanded to get out of the way. Get out of the way and let him do his work in you and through you. Again, we would be attractive people if we walked like this all the time. People would look at our lives and they would want that. And that's a platform for the gospel, is it not? How did you become that? Well, again, I didn't become this on my own. I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. He saved me, transformed me, gave me a new life. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, again, how did you do that? Well, the Bible says that you confess him with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says that you'll be saved. Again, how'd you do that? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, okay, now I hear it. I got to call upon him. And as I call upon him, I got to confess him with my mouth that he is Lord. I've got to believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. See, those are non-negotiables in Scripture. If you're not willing to believe that, you can't be saved. But that's what he does. And it is his patience that leads sinners to repentance. If it was all based upon us, no one would be saved. Because our patience gave out a long time ago, trying to wait for this person to get converted. Again, it doesn't rest on him, and it doesn't rest on us. It rests on God and his sovereignty and salvation. He draws people to himself, and you can't come to him unless he draws you first. You can't be saved unless he wakes you up from the dead, because every unbeliever is a dead person, dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. Verse 5 says, but God makes you alive. Salvation is of the Lord, not of man. And we all believe that, because if we didn't, we wouldn't ask in our Wednesday nights or in our Sunday morning times to pray for such and such to get saved. We know that they can't save themselves. Otherwise, they would. If you go around and taste and see the goodness and the kindness of the Lord, how could you reject that? But see, man's will is bent towards sin. And all he can do, spiritually speaking, is choose sin because he's chained to it. But when God, the Holy Spirit, draws him to the Father, the chains fall off and he's saved. Again, God is the God of patience. This is what leads sinners to repentance. This is also what God showed Paul when he saved him in 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 15, Paul says it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Paul is saying that Jesus exercised his perfect patience in him, so that he would be an example to those who would believe. And boy, you look back on the Apostle Paul's life, and you look at what he endured. You look at what he went through, and how in Acts chapter 9, Jesus said to Ananias, I will show Paul the things that he will suffer for my name's sake. And he did. He suffered tremendously for the sake of Christ. But he demonstrated Jesus' perfect patience in his life. Yes, he had moments when he didn't. That little confrontation that went on with John Mark and Barnabas and all of that, and they had dissension, him and Barnabas, that certainly wasn't patience at that moment. But you know what? He found out later that John Mark was useful, and he brought him back. He needed him. But he had little moments, like when he called the leaders, you whitewashed tomb. You go, wait a minute, Paul, you're calling names now. Well, again, he had those moments when he got in the flesh. But you have rare moments of that in Scripture with him. Wouldn't you like to say that in your own life, that there are rare moments in your life when you get in the flesh? Again, I just remind you that when you are mad and it's not righteous anger, that this is the flesh, this is not the Spirit of God being produced in your life. When you are filled with sensual desires or you're filled with things in your mind that are not Philippians 4:8, this again is the flesh. And you got to deal with it at that very moment. We were talking this morning a little bit about thoughts that hinder our prayer time. Well, how do we deal with them? Well, once they come in, we immediately pray about that, right? We immediately ask God to remove that. We deal with it immediately. So, God's patience, and God being the God of patience, is seen as sinners come to repentance. It's seen in the Apostle Paul's life when he saved him and it became an example to others. It's also seen or demonstrated during the time of Noah. You remember that time with the building of the ark? Well, Peter has something to say about that. He says this in 1 Peter 3:18 and following. He says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, there's the drawing, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. It means he proclaimed a victory. It's not euangelion, the word for gospel, but it's a word that talks about proclaiming a victory. It says, verse 20, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Out of all the population, the people saw Noah and his family building that ark. By the way, in September, Lord willing, we're taking our family out to Kentucky and see that life-size version of that ark. Can't wait to do that and do that with my kids and see that. But think about this. They were building this, and Noah is preaching about a coming judgment. What's that coming judgment? It's going to rain. It's going to flood. And unless you repent, unless you go through the door of salvation like the emblem of the ark, you come through the door for salvation, and unless you do that, you're going to perish in all of this water. And they did. And it says there, the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. We can't compare the patience of God to our patience. There's no comparison. We give out. We give up too many times. But God doesn't. And so again, when you yield to the Spirit, God manifests His patience in you. So when we say, what is patience, what are we seeing? We're seeing this calm willingness to endure the irritations and the pain that is inflicted to us by people. Now, who is the greatest example of that? Of enduring? Jesus. Is he not? Jesus is the supreme example of enduring injuries inflicted by others. Listen to Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Wow. That's half the battle, is it not? Keeping your mouth closed when you're going through something terrible, or you have someone say something ugly to you. Half the battle is not saying something back, returning evil for evil, but overcoming evil with good. So I always started out in that passage in Romans chapter 12. Don't avenge yourselves. Leave room for the wrath of God. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. There it's talking about the attitude of the heart. Even Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. And Jesus demonstrated that. In Matthew chapter 27, right after he was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane for this overnight trial, which was by way of violation of the law to have this trial, he was before Caiaphas. Matthew 27:63 tells us as he's before Caiaphas, Caiaphas is speaking to him, and it says he kept silent. Listen to what it says. And after he kept silent, Caiaphas kept pressing him. And he says, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now Jesus speaks up. And he said, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. What did Caiaphas do? He tore his clothes and he yelled, blasphemy! What do we need of witnesses? And he asked everyone what they thought about what he said, and they said, he deserves to die. And then it says in verses 67 and 68, then they spat in his face, they beat him with their fist, others slapped him, and they said, prophesy to us, you Christ, you Messiah. Who is it the one who hit you? Jesus willingly took that. He was patient. He exercised this patience, this macrothumia that we're talking about. They're hitting the Creator in the face. They're spitting on the Creator. Oh, he could have ended it all right then. But he didn't. And he went to the cross willingly. And on the cross, God poured out all of his wrath on Jesus. And he treated Jesus as if he was a sinner, even though he wasn't. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God treated Jesus as if he had sinned. And Jesus bore the sin of every sinner in his own body. Describing Jesus' response, Peter had something to say about that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. He says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." There's your key right there. Did you hear it? Yield to God. Yield yourself to God. Yield your thoughts. Yield your actions, your deeds. Yield everything about your life to God. When you get reviled, don't revile in return. When you suffer, don't utter threats. Keep your mouth closed. When describing this patience in Galatians 5:22, I was reading John Gill, and he said this, and it was really good. He says that this is a patient bearing and enduring of present evils with joyfulness, being strengthened by the Spirit with all might according to his glorious power, being slow to anger, ready to forgive injuries, put up with affronts and bear with and forbear one another, and which is usually accompanied with gentleness, humanity, affability, courteousness, shown both in words, gestures, and actions, in imitation of the gentleness of Christ, and agreeably to that wisdom, that heavenly doctrine of the gospel, which among other things is said to be gentle and easy to be entreated. And I read that, and immediately I was thinking of Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus is our example. Look to Jesus. Study Jesus. Study how he responded. This is not here in the Word just as a novelty for us. This is for us to do. To be like we talked about Wednesday night, where the Thessalonians were mimics. They were mimics of Paul and Silas and Timothy. They were mimics of the Lord. They also left their tupas. It's not something that you wear. The tupas was the mark or the impression that they had on Macedonia and Achaia, because they're sharing their faith, and they left such a mark on that community by their change of life, because they went from serving gods to now serving God and waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. So we have to walk by the Spirit. We have to yield to the Spirit. And when this fruit is manifested, it reveals that God is leading you. You want an assurance of salvation? Here it is right here. Do you want to know if you really are saved? Do you see this in your life? That's one way to tell. If you're yielding to God, you're yielding to the Spirit of God, you're yielding to Jesus Christ, this is what's going to be produced in your life. This is that kind of patience that's toward people. One person said it's a long, enduring temper. Long, enduring temper. Another person said this is the emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune, and without complaint or irritation. Wow. We have trouble shutting our mouths when we're going through something difficult. We have trouble not complaining. Philippians 2 says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Right? All things. Verse before that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean work for your salvation. It means to work it out. Work it out means that's your sanctification. That's dealing with your flesh. That's what we're talking about here. So, this is produced by God, just as the others are, but just as we shared last time, all of these are being produced, but we're also commanded to do this. We're commanded to live this way. So we are commanded to put on patience. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13 talk about putting on things as a child of God. And so it says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. The Lord, again, is our example. He forgave us. What right do we have not to forgive someone else who wrongs us? We don't have any right. Let me have you to turn to Ephesians. It's just one book over. Go to chapter 4, Ephesians 4. Patience is to accompany the worthy walk. You say, well, what is the worthy walk? Let me just show you what that is. Look at verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. What does he mean by that? Well, he's begging them to walk, conduct themselves in a manner that is worthy. And the word here that's used for worthy means balanced. Your life is in this hand. I'm holding your life. Your calling is in the other hand. They're to be balanced. How are they balanced? It's by how you conduct yourself. You're to conduct yourself in a manner that is balanced with your calling, by which you've been called. Look at verse 2. How? With all humility and gentleness, and here it is, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Don't be diligent to push people away or to tell people that you're irritated and to explode on them. Be diligent to preserve unity. So you got to forgive. You got to walk in humility. You got to be gentle. You've got to have this patience that we're talking about here. Maybe to go to Colossians. It's right after Philippians. Go to chapter 1 in Colossians. And I believe he kind of sums this up in verses 9 through 12. He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, get this, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Is this not a summation of everything we've been talking about? We want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects, bearing fruit. That's what it's all about. And I believe that preachers are also to be ones that exhibit this great patience. Paul told Timothy to preach the word, and he told him to be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. Be patient. We all don't change in a moment. We all don't stop the misbehavior in a second. Do your kids stop when they tell you to stop? Here's the God of all creation to telling you how to deal with this. Do you stop when he tells you? Do you stop when you hear it read in the Word in your devotions? You read this and it says, wow, I'm not supposed to be living like this, or I'm not supposed to act like this, but I was acting like this morning. Preachers need to be patient. You know, I get the dose of it before you do, because I'm studying it. I get exposed to it before I get here. And it didn't start Saturday night. It's been going on all week. And sometimes situations happen, circumstances happen, and my little feeble mind doesn't always get it. And it's like, hey, you, all these situations that are happening are showing you need to look at this patience that you're not having right now. You're not handling this very well. You're not shutting your mouth. I want you to shut your mouth. You know, knocking on my brain. You know, I think a lot of times, and I don't always think this, you know, when I blow it, I want to think it, so I don't blow it, but it is my testimony. I don't want people to be pushed away from the Lord because of some sinful display I just had of my flesh. You know what I mean? You're standing there talking to somebody and they say something and it just rubs you the wrong way and you respond and you got a Christian t-shirt on. Or you got a little fish sign on the back of your car or a little Bible verse somewhere. Worse than that, they know you're a Christian. Or in my case, not only that, they know you're a preacher. No excuse. So, do you have self-restraint before proceeding to action? Do you have tolerance when it comes to the injuries inflicted by others on you? Do you have a calm willingness to accept situations that are irritating and painful? Do you practice the example of Christ? If the answer is no, you're not yielding to the Spirit in those moments. Walk by the Spirit. You got to walk by the means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. I got to put that to music. That's our next verse we need to memorize. Well, are you a Christian? And I don't mean a Christian as the world describes Christians. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ who lives every day denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus? And if not, you can become one right now by repenting and giving your life to Jesus. Is that easy to do? No, it is not. But it's got to start somewhere, right? Are you willing to? If you're willing, I believe that Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, who wasn't saved, who had lived up to the moral law that was written on his heart, and God gave him more light that eventually brought him to hearing the message from Peter. But see, God had to do an object lesson in Peter's life because Peter had, you know, some things in his heart about Gentiles that God needed to take out. So he gives him that vision, and all this food comes down in a sheet, and it was food that Jews were not to eat, and Peter hears this voice, rise and eat. And Peter said, not so. And God rebuked him, don't you call unclean what I have cleansed. And he did all of that for an object lesson for Peter because he was about to go meet a Gentile and preach the gospel to him. Father, I pray right now that you would help us with what we've just heard today. It's going to take a little bit of time to sink in, I'm sure. Patience is probably one of the greatest things that we struggle with. Thank you for what our Savior went through on our behalf. Thank you for the example that he had for us. And Lord, my prayer is for everyone in here that they are truly devoted followers of Jesus Christ. They do live every day denying themselves and taking up their cross and following you. And if there's anyone in here who just has a mouth profession, doesn't really have Jesus in their life every day, they don't live for Jesus every day, help them to see that they're not saved. It doesn't matter what they say. And I pray that you would change that today, though, that you would save them and make them yours. Lord, we pray that in this moment that we have to reflect on what we've just heard, are we truly walking by the Spirit?
Are we truly practicing self-restraint before we proceed to action? Are we truly tolerating the injuries that are inflicted on us by other people? Are we truly being calm and willing to accept these situations that are irritating and painful? Are we closing our mouths? Are we not complaining? Lord, help us to bring this to you right now. Confess it to you. It's sin. And then help us to be filled with the Spirit, to be being kept filled with the Spirit. Help us to walk by the Spirit. We thank you for this time we've had this morning. God, may you be praised. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.